As you know, Pastor Brad and Rhoda are on holidays, so just keep them in your prayers that they might have safe travels and a restful time, and that they might come back to us restored and refreshed. How many people like to sing? What? I don't see any hands. Oh. So you notice the announcement in the bulletin that says Christmas choir? This is an opportunity for you to come, all of us to come who are interested in singing and prepare for the Christmas season. So this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock till 8:30, please come and enjoy a time. Prepare to sing the Christmas songs. So we just remind you of that. Also, I'd like to remind you that we have a budget meeting coming up. I'd like those of you who are members to mark your calendar for Saturday, November the 24th at 10 o'clock. As you know, we have a finance committee that's representative of our three different congregations, and they worked hard to prepare a budget for this coming year, brought it to our deacons and elders meeting this past Monday. And we, as a board, approve that, and we'll bring it as recommendations to the members at Saturday morning. So this is a most important meeting. Please mark your calendars if you're members. Pick up your draft budget this coming Sunday, not today, but a week from today, in preparation for the budget meeting. So the other thing that you should be aware of is there's a calendar on the table in the front. It's a bilingual calendar. The dates for 2019 are there for you. So take one of those home and enjoy that. So Pastor James, yeah. You come and bring God's word.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, I'm James, your Vietnam missionary. I am here this morning not to give you a Vietnam mission report, but to tell you God's word. I think this is my first time to deliver God's word on this pulpit. Actually, when I stay in Vietnam, I do not preach at the Vietnam Hope Church because it's the Vietnam law. Foreigners cannot preach to native Vietnamese. But I lead the teacher's quiet time every morning and teach Bible during cell group at their homes. So please bear with me. People say there are three religions in this world. What are they? Buddhism and Confucianism and Christianity. A man was walking on the road beside the lake, but suddenly he slipped and dropped into the lake. What the problem is, he cannot swim, so he shouted help. First of all, the Buddha came and said, "It's your fault. When you walk beside the water, you have to be careful. You have to come out from the water by yourself and gone." Secondly, Confucius said, "I told you, you should not go near the water in the month of July. You violated my word. Help yourself." And how about Jesus? As soon as Jesus heard his cry, he jumped into the water and saved him. And Jesus died in the water. He is our Lord and Savior. I am going to read the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 16 to 25. My Bible is NIV. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Today's word is the Exodus of the Israelite. You know this Exodus story very well, right? Today's Exodus story is a wonderful story where God saved his people who cannot do anything to survive. There are many wonderful stories in the Bible, but this Exodus story is very interesting and intriguing. There are not many stories where the Creator is with us, takes care of us, and talks directly in front of us in the Bible. Today, I want to examine how we are challenged and how we survive in this world in the 21st century through the Exodus story and through the central figure, Moses. The Exodus happened in the 1400s BC. It means it happened about 3,400 years ago. Most of us grew up knowing our parents. Do you know your grandparents? Did you see them? How about great-grandparents? And great-great-grandparents? Maybe you do not know them. Actually, I do not know my grandparents either. If you read your genealogical book, maybe you can see their names. Many of you heard, learned, and read the Exodus story in the Bible many times. So you know the story well. Especially, you know a lot about Moses and Joshua. This Exodus story was planned by God, and led by God, and accomplished by God. So, the main character of Exodus is God, not Moses. But the most important thing is, God uses his creation people to accomplish his plan. As you know, we have many church leaders here at Oak Ridge Baptist Church. We always pray for them and have had many in the past. And God uses his servants to accomplish his Vietnam mission also. Actually, God can do his mission by himself. The book of Genesis, chapter 17:1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." Because God is Almighty, he can do all things by himself. But you and I cannot do all things. But if God chooses you and me for his ministry, we could be used as his tools to accomplish his mission. Like in today's story, Moses and the others God used, King David, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, etc. God uses his creation to accomplish his plan. This is the way God works. So God uses his faithful servant today, and he will continue to call his servants in this century and the next. Let's get back to Exodus. The Israelites did not have food to eat because there was a 7-year famine. So Jacob sent his children to Egypt to get some food. They met their brother Joseph in Egypt, who they thought was dead already. As you know, Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers, but he became the prime minister of Egypt because of his honesty and trust in God. So Jacob found out that his beloved was still alive. He went to Egypt to meet him. After that, Jacob's family lived in Egypt. At first, they had a good life in Egypt because Pharaoh gave them land and helped them. But as time went by, they became slaves of Egypt. No other time in history has one whole nation become slaves in a country. As the Israelites survived in Egypt as slaves for 400 years, they cried out to God. The book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their cry and answered. God made a plan to bring out his people from Egypt. He prepared Moses as the leader of the Exodus, even though he was born during a dangerous time. As you know, we can divide Moses' life into 3 terms. The first term is an Egyptian prince. Moses became an Egyptian prince even though he was a Hebrew. So this must have been God's plan. Second, Moses' life was a fugitive. Third, Moses was used as a servant of God. Now, let's take a look at the first life of Moses. Then the Israelites moved to Egypt. They were 70 people. But after 400 years, they were over 2 million. Even though they were slaves of Egypt, Pharaoh feared that they might be able to overtake Egypt because of their numbers. So he ordered to have all Israelite newborn boys killed. Moses was born at this time. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months in their house, but they could not keep hide him any longer. So his mom put him in a papyrus basket covered in pitch and sent it down the river. Later, Moses became a son of Egyptian princess. As a prince of Egypt, Moses got a good education in the palace. When he grew up, he recognized that he was a Hebrew, and he felt sympathy toward his people. At this time, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. As this accident was known to the king of Egypt, he ran away to the Midian wilderness. What I read today is Moses' second term of life as a fugitive. Moses helped some women shepherds. They were the daughters of Midian priest Reuel. Other shepherds tried to drive them away, but Moses stepped in and the daughters were able to water their flock. This was the first good thing Moses did because he helped the weak people. Still, Moses had strength and knowledge. Because he helped, Moses was invited to live at the Reuel's house and eventually married and started a family. When Moses was a prince of Egypt, he had power because of his position. But now he has fallen to the bottom. Living as a powerless fugitive, he fell down his highest position to the lowest. So as a murderer on the run, he lived a quiet shepherd life out of fear of being discovered. Maybe Moses lived in regret that he should have handled the matter better after he killed the Egyptian. In the meantime, when Moses took care of his flock in Mount Horeb, he met God in the flames of fire within the bush. At the time, Moses was 80 years old. He had lived 40 years in the palace of Egypt as a prince and then 40 years as a shepherd in the Midian wilderness. He had become a seasoned shepherd now. God did not call Moses as a youth when he had the energy, pride, strength, and passion, but as an old man who is now lethargic, weak, and without hope. Isn't it strange? God called Moses, Moses. Why did God call Moses at the time? Because Moses had the strength. When Moses had strength and power, he couldn't understand how hard the slaves' lives were. But when he became a refugee and lived 40 years as a shepherd, he could know and understand them. He could understand his people's hard situation in Egypt. We usually cannot understand other people when we are not in their situation. When you put everything down in front of God, God will call you to work together. But it does not mean you must be 80 years old. When the Israelites were slaves, they lost any expectation and hope for their lives. They only had a faint hope of an Almighty God to forgive their sins and save them from slavery because they felt miserable. They couldn't do anything for themselves. Now Moses began to accomplish the exodus of Israel as a servant of God. But the first generation of those who came out of Egypt did not obey Moses many times and couldn't enter the land of Canaan, the land of God promised them. There was a big tree in the field, but one branch of the tree was broken because of strong wind. Do you remember the Stanley Park of rooted trees? Because of strong storm, the roots pulled up many trees in Stanley Park before. The broken branch was barely connected to the tree and was dangling. Can this dangling branch produce flowers and bear fruit? No way. Because the branch was broken, that branch cannot get water and nutrition from the trees. So dangling branch cannot blossom and bear fruit. The first generation of the Exodus committed sins many times in front of God. So they could not enter the land of Canaan. They had to die in the wilderness. How about your faith? Is your branch of faith connected to the tree? Or is it broken and dangling from the tree? When the Israelites crossed the wilderness, venomous snakes and scorpions that lived there did not bite them. But when the Israelites did not trust in God, the venomous snakes and scorpions came out from the forest and bit them. So many people died. Originally, the wilderness is the place where the venomous snakes live. Venomous creatures live because they live there. If you go into the wilderness, you will be bitten by them. It's natural. It may be obvious because venomous snakes and scorpions live in there. But the Israelites stayed in the wilderness for 40 years and they did not attack them. Because God protected them. This is God's grace. In this 21st century, though this world is full of venomous snakes and scorpions, when you trust and obey God, you will be protected by our Lord from the evil ones. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to the fire. In my family, I am the first generation to have immigrated to Canada and the first generation to believe in God. I know this Exodus story well, so I do my best to not make any mistakes. I pray honestly to not commit any sin in front of God. Whenever God calls me, I do my best to obey Him. Only then God will choose me and use me for His work. Or I will be bitten by the venomous snakes and scorpions of the world. Then my children will see what I do and will obey God also. At first, Prince Moses tried to help his people by his own strength, but he failed. And Moses, as a refugee, lived an uneasy life without any hope in the Midian wilderness. When God called him in the bush though he was old and slow of speech and tongue. But when he went before the king of Egypt, he could shout boldly to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." God planned and led Moses' whole life to use him as a leader for the Exodus. Moses was born in a very difficult time. But when he was born and became a prince of Egypt, with that palace experience, Moses could go before the king boldly. After coming out from Egypt, the Israelites had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. So God prepared Moses to live in the wilderness for 40 years as a shepherd. God has a will for whatever we do. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to protect us from the world's venomous snakes and scorpions. 3 days later, he resurrected from the dead, and Jesus overcame the power of the world. Why do you worry? Jesus is looking at you now. He knows what you need, what you want. Let's obey God without any condition. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to obey you without any condition. We want to follow you, just trust you. Please give us bold faith like Moses. During our lives in this world, we want to give glory to you, Lord. Amen. Okay. All stand up and